You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz, and we are speaking to Charlie Smith, the editor of Pancouver. Charlie, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks, Minkaren. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Charlie. Thanks for asking. Lots to cover this morning. One big story this week that a lot of folks are talking about is the carbon tax, because it seems that Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, he essentially wanted to put out a non-confidence motion against the Liberals, but the Liberal government survived the non-confidence motion on the carbon tax with the backing of the Bloc Québécois and NDP. What do you make of what's been going on this week, and why are the Conservatives really, you know, pushing on the carbon tax?
Well, I think what they've figured out is they can use the carbon tax to attach that to the cost of living, and then they can then cite the rising costs of all these things in our society, and then bring it back to the carbon tax. And it's there's a lot of politics being played here, but it's also it's a complicated issue, and there is some validity to carbon tax raising costs, but a lot of that money is being given back to low and middle income people through the tax system. And but for Poilievre, he knows that the NDP and the Bloc aren't ready for an election, so they were not going to support this motion. The Bloc would never support it anyway, and so it's a way for him to position the Conservatives as being the only ones who are against this tax. And it works well for Poilievre, also for fundraising, because it's kind of red meat for the Conservative base, and really what he wants to do is build up as big a war chest as possible. There was no chance of this motion, this non-confidence motion, passing. So there was a lot of theater involved, but at the same time, it offered Poilievre, he's decided to basically stake his political future on this. We'll see whether it works. It may not, because part of the problem the Conservatives have had is that they're perceived by many voters as being fairly blasé about the climate crisis. And sometimes if climate-related events happen close to an election, it can have monumental consequences. And we saw that in 2012 when Mitt Romney was kind of denying the climate crisis to a fair degree in his campaign. And then Superstorm Sandy walloped New York City and New Jersey, and Obama was able to portray Mitt Romney as someone who didn't care about something that is huge. And so this is the game Poilievre is playing. And had he come forward with policies to address the climate crisis as an option to the carbon tax, I don't think he would be as vulnerable. Right now, he's riding high in the polls. He may win the election. Canadians generally have a habit of replacing their prime ministers every 10 years or so. So he may end up winning the 2025 election and the Conservatives forming the government. At the same time, though, I think he's pandering to the base and not really going for those blue Liberals and more middle-of-the-road voters. And maybe he feels that there's a conservative kind of breeze blowing across the country and that he'll be okay by doing that. But it's certainly different from the politics that we've seen from some other conservative leaders in the past.
Yeah, definitely a change. But, you know, Charlie, one has to wonder, right, for the conservatives to kind of continue to ignore climate change in a time where it feels like we are seeing climate events quite close to home, and especially here in BC, we've seen a number of things. Do you think that tactic would necessarily work, though? Would it keep working?
Well, I think it really depends on what happens. Like, if we get another deadly heat wave, or we get a massive, you know, hurricane, they're coming up further north on the Atlantic, and we saw Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia suffer enormously from climate-related issues over the past year, and there's flooding in on the Ottawa River, and there's, you know, all these things. The St. John River floods. We see what happens in the interior of BC with the flooding and the wildfires, and so there is some risk. The other risk, I think, for Poiliev is that people who vote are climate voters, and there are some people who are like that, are more likely to gravitate to the Liberals, even if they're not entirely comfortable with the Liberals, as the best means to keep the Conservatives out of power. So there is some risk, but you can't argue with the results so far. Poiliev has shot up in the polls. The Conservatives are riding high. And right now, they're in a very enviable position politically. And so Poiliev clearly believes this is working, and maybe he believes that the climate issue is overblown and that he doesn't accept kind of the scientific consensus that we have fewer than 10 years to clean up this mess, or else we're really going to put humanity in jeopardy. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But I do feel that he is playing a risk, but it seems to be working so far.
All right. I guess, like you said, only time will tell. We have to see what happens there. Another story, Charlie, quite concerning in the city of Vancouver. There's been a string of violent incidents in downtown Vancouver this week, and the city's police chief explained he sympathizes with people's concerns when they hear about the multiple random attacks in the city. There was a woman who was sexually assaulted by a stranger in Stanley Park on Monday. Then on Wednesday, there was a suspect that was arrested after being accused of multiple violent attacks, including a random stabbing at Smythe and Beattie Streets. I mean, as somebody who's grown up in the city, I can't remember seeing so many incidents like this. So what's going on, Charlie?
Yeah, and what's interesting here is we haven't heard as much from the police since ABC majority was elected under Ken Sim. In the previous year in the election, it seemed we were getting video shown on the newscasts on a regular basis of crime and mayhem, and part of it was this was real, and they're looking for suspects. But the other issue that was kind of the backdrop was the mayor at the time, Kennedy Stewart, and the police chief were not getting along, in that Kennedy Stewart wanted to freeze the budget, and the police chief felt that he needed more resources to deal with crime. Ken Sim gets elected, and suddenly everything's hunky-dory, and we're not seeing all these announcements. And then this week, we hear what we hear. And the other issue, too, that we're seeing is the issue with addiction and drug use and homelessness is not going away. I just found it interesting that, you know, the police chief's out talking, trying to reassure the public. But let's not forget, they're also coming up to a provincial election, and you've got the BC United running against David Eby, largely on crime. That's one of their key issues, and drugs. And so we'll see whether the Vancouver police decide to get back in the business of popping up on the news on a regular basis, like they did in the 2022 election year. I'm going to be watching for that. How many pieces of video are they going to be putting out this year compared to last year, and then compared to the election year of 2022? Because the violent crime rate actually went down in 2022 in Vancouver, but you wouldn't know it from watching the news.
Interesting. Okay, we'll also be watching closely. And Charlie, finally, here at Spice Radio, we are wrapping up our Raise Your Hands Against Racism campaign this week. And we have two people that we are celebrating. That is Grand Chief Stuart Phillip and Jovan Narwal. And for those who aren't familiar, you know, what have these two guys done? Because they've done a lot of amazing work.
Yeah, I think they're great choices, actually. And because each of them has done some remarkable things in their area. Like Grand Chief Stuart Phillip has been maybe the greatest defender of Aboriginal title and Aboriginal rights in BC over the past generation. He's always been at the forefront, speaking up for Aboriginal kids in care, focusing on the legal rights of Indigenous people, supporting First Nations that are trying to assert their rights, and also forming alliances and partnerships with other community groups in ways that go beyond what we've seen maybe from other Indigenous organizations or First Nations leaders. He's really stood out in this way, and he's someone who always shows up. He likes to say that everything he does is because of his wife, Joan, and there's validity to that she's always been by his side as he's been advocating for so many years. So he's a great choice, but I think Jovan Narwhal is also very interesting in that what he's done in the legal profession, and the first non-white president of the Vancouver Bar Association, someone who has interesting family roots in BC, and that on his mother's side, his great-grandfather came to BC in 1906, so it was 1 year before the continuous migration regulation, which was aimed at reducing Indian immigration to BC. And so his grandfather was a trade union leader, met Prime Minister Louis Saint-Laurent to argue for loosening of immigration regulations. But on his father's side, his father was an immigrant and was a trained lawyer in India, but was not allowed to practice in BC and became a notary public. And Jovan spent all this time in his office and watching. But so he's kind of fulfilling his dad's dream by becoming a lawyer, but he's become quite a big shot in the legal community too, with the Trial Lawyers Association. And then the city of Vancouver was included his voice extensively in its report on historical racism against people of South Asian ancestry. I think he's an excellent choice, and he's somebody who's kind of broken this glass ceiling or these barriers for people of color and gained great respect from his peers, works with the Tawasin First Nation. So it's kind of nice to see, an Indigenous leader and then a lawyer of Punjabi Sikh ancestry who actually has a track record of helping Indigenous people. So I congratulate Spice Radio on the choices this year.
And Charlie, as always, we really appreciate your support for our Raise Your Hands Against Racism campaign. Thank you so much. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, thanks so much, Minkaren. Bye.